Hi, podcast listeners, and welcome to Sandbox Radio Live. This episode was recorded in front of a live audience on June 24th, 2019, and marks our return to the Forum at the newly renovated Town Hall Seattle. It featured writing from first-time contributor Amontaine Arore, and one of our most popular guests, Rob McPherson, the drunken tenor. So sit back, relax, and welcome to Sandbox Radio Busting Out, with an appearance by our favorite storyteller, Willie Weir.
Sandbox Radio, we'll stay all day in the backyard, we'll play, jump into our sandbox.
We'll build castles and games, words become things. Madness of Rob McPherson, the drunken tenor! NPR and Sandbox Radio favorite Willie Weir brings you a story. And oh, so much more. Plus, all your favorite Sandbox Radio players! And the Sandbox Radio Orchestra, led by our maestro and composer, the fabulous Angie Louise. So, sit back and relax as we take you into the world of Sandbox Radio Live.
My texts.
What?
Well, I've been texting you all week and calling. It's like everything's going into a big black hole.
I'm not very fond of texts.
We had that amazing first date, and then wham, you disappear.
Double crocus sometime before lunch, ladies.
I didn't disappear, Stuart.
Now I'm nervous to put my head under. Just hold your nose like this.
So you got my texts?
Yes.
Well, I haven't heard a word from you, Miriam.
Stuart.
What?
You unbuttoned my blouse.
Yes?
And you put your hand on my breast.
Guilty as charged.
Why did you do that?
Why? Because I wanted to get close to you, Miriam.
But I didn't invite you.
Well, What's an invitation but an intermediary step? I was going for the gold, Miriam.
But I didn't want you to.
Because you're afraid.
It doesn't matter my reason, Stuart.
Because you're terrified to get real.
One part of our pocket is out of alignment.
God, Stuart, you're ruining up the formation.
Sorry, I'll tread water over here.
Who's Miriam talking to? I don't have my glasses on.
Circle left.
Miriam, I just want you to know that you don't have to be ashamed.
I'm not ashamed.
It's just me, one man.
Small skull.
Another traveler in this vast, messed up universe.
Oh my God.
And we talked about so much last Thursday. My divorce, your health issues, all of our losses.
And to the right.
You're blocking my forward motion, Stuart.
That's why I wanted to touch it, Miriam.
My breast?
To give it some adoration.
It didn't need any adoration.
Oh, I think it did.
Can we talk about...
If not...
Can we not talk about this now? Well,
if not now, then when, Miriam?
Now! The crocus starts to open like a petulant flower! Open, 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 and...
Ah, they're screwing up our timing!
Flutter kick in motion!
Hey, quit splashing me!
This is the flutter kick.
I'm just trying to explain that I touched your breast because I could sense that it might... give you some confidence.
Flutter kick, flutter kick.
I mean, your little smile was...
My little smile?
Yeah, so propped up and, I don't know, inflated. Like you were pretending or like my pump. I told you about my pump, didn't I?
Don't say another word.
Right away, I didn't want to wait until things got heated and, oh, by the way, I need to press a button. That's honesty, Miriam. Is that why you haven't replied?
I didn't mind about your pump, Stuart.
Then I don't get what the problem is. I've got a pump, and you've got one breast.
Keep your voice down, please.
Miriam, we were made for each other. We can be real together.
Real. There you go with that word again.
Yeah, I am. I'm talking real, baby. I'm talking here and now. We can leave this high-class retirement ghetto and...
Real is overrated, Stuart.
Overrated?
Yes.
Baby.
Real is just a bunch of bullshit feet poet male dogma.
What the heck are you talking about?
Don't you shout at me.
Miriam, this can't be how you want to live out your life.
Get out of the water, Stuart.
Hey. Wait a sec. That's no Sea Maven.
That's a man. What's he doing wearing one of our bathing caps?
Is this really how you want to spend your days? In some kind of Lawrence Welk Disney fantasy? Some Esther Williams fascist charade?
Fascist charade?
This makes me happy, Stuart.
Happy? What's happy but a pile of bourgeois crap? We should be grabbing the bull by the horns, baby. We should be feeling all of it, even the losses.
I don't want to feel the losses.
Real, baby.
No, Stuart. You don't get to tell me what's real.
Oh, sing it, sister.
Me and these ladies have spent our entire lives letting guys like you tell us what's real. Letting your ego and your precious dicks tell us what to want and how to feel. While we sat back and made the sandwiches.
Fuck the sandwiches!
Yeah! No more! Not anymore! These are my golden years, you asshole!
What are you talking about?
I'm a sea maven because it makes me happy. And I like this place. And you don't get to pass judgment on that.
You can't possibly be serious.
Try me.
Miriam, you really want to twiddle your days away with a bunch of Betty Whites, macrameing hernia slings, and drinking chichis?
Why not? What are you suggesting? Spending my time with you copping feels while I listen to your pump?
Jesus, Miriam!
That's too much real for me, Stuart.
Hey, Busta, get out of the damn pool!
I thought...
Yeah, hit the deck.
I thought I knew you, Miriam.
Maybe a few years ago you might have known me, but not now.
Impersonating a sea maven? How low can you go?
Ladies, battle station.
I don't think you're welcome here, Stuart.
You know the drill.
I'm going.
Barracuda formation!
Jesus, Miriam!
Spear arms!
Don't worry, Stuart. I'm sure you'll find someone who wants to get real with you.
You better believe it.
Breaststroke!
And that person's gonna come with a full rack, Miriam. You mark my words.
I'd swim a bit faster, Stuart.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my complete delight to welcome back to the Sandbox Radio stage, Willie Weir!
I was 4,000 miles and 4 months into an epic bicycle journey in the subcontinent of India. India was the most beautiful place I'd ever been. It was the ugliest place I'd ever been. It was the most serene place I'd ever been. It was the loudest place I'd ever been. It was the most spiritual place I'd ever been. It was the most amoral place I'd ever been. It was the most of everywhere and everything I'd ever been. And I was hot. Oh, I had never, ever been so hot. I was in southern India, and I'd been told by locals there that they called May the month of murder. And the reason that they do is as the monsoons approach with their cooling rains, the temperature rises. And the humidity rises as well, and it does seemingly so hour after hour after hour. And you're there, and you look up at the sky, and you think it's going to rain, and it doesn't. But the temperature gets hotter and hotter, and then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. How hot was it? On my final day of cycling in southern India, I drank 4.5 gallons of water and didn't urinate. It all came out from sweat in my body. But I'd been told by locals that I could escape this. And the way that I could do that was to go up into the hills, the Nilgiri Hills. I don't know why they called them hills. They're at 7,000 feet up in Tamil Nadu where they grow the tea up there. And I knew one thing, is that to get up there, I was gonna have one hell of a climb because I was starting at sea level and heading up into the hills. And as I started my journey up into those hills, I came upon a sign. And the sign on the side of the road read, "The road to Ooty contains several hairpin bends and steep gradients. You shall strain your vehicle much." Halfway up this mountain pass, my vehicle showed no signs of stress. I, on the other hand, was a cycling fountain as sweat dripped from my nose, my chin, my elbows, my fingertips, yes, even my toes. I was wearing sandals. Switchback number 18. Switchback number 19. And I think the people in this area of India, at least the engineers, the highway engineers, are rather cruel because There are 36 switchbacks that go up this mountain pass. And the reason I know that is because each and every single one of them is numbered at the corner. Switchback number 21. Switchback number 22. Ooh, ooh, how steep was this road? It was so steep that for periods of time, 45 minutes at a stretch, in first gear on a 21-speed mountain bike, I had to stand and pedal or I would have fallen over. Switchback number 25. And at a certain point, I started to sing camp tunes from my childhood to keep my mind off of my throbbing legs. It's like, kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Switchback number 27. Oh my god, my lord. Kumbaya. Switchback number 28. And all of a sudden, off in the distance, I heard, I looked back down the road, and there was this truck. It was an enormous truck, and it was blowing the largest black diesel exhaust cloud I'd ever seen in my life. And I looked down, kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. And I realized that this truck was going approximately 5 miles an hour faster than I was. Switchback number 28. Switchback number 29. No matter how hard I pedaled, the truck got closer and closer. Switchback number 30. And finally, that truck pulled up alongside of me. And ladies and gentlemen, that exhaust pipe is right at face level for your fellow cyclists. And it came by and it blew this large stream of diesel exhaust across my face. And as it passed by, a man leaned out the window and yelled, "Why you not take the bus?" And now, with diesel exhaust tears running down my face, I said, "I don't know." Switchback number 31. Switchback number 32. The truck went up over out of sight. Switchback number 33. Switchback number 30. Bing! Gong! Pow! Pop, 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 pop! And I thought, whoa! I think I've died. Oh, geez, I thought I was supposed to die climbing my last mountain pass at 85. This isn't supposed to happen now. And I realized that, no, I was still amongst the living. What are those sounds? And I looked, and there it was. There it was. Switch it back. Number 36. I crested the hill. And I came on the other side. And there was a temple on the other side of this mountain pass. It just so happened this was the annual festival day of the local goddess Kaliyama. And I cycled right into the middle of it. No sooner had I gotten my leg up over my saddle. Then I was whisked into this dance, and there was one man on one hand and one on the other, a line of 30 or 40 men, and they were all wearing these traditional long pants called dhotis. And I was wearing traditional lycra. And there was this other line of all these women in these beautiful saris of all the colors of the rainbow dancing in the opposite direction. And there were people gonging on gongs and drumming on drums, and there were bottle rockets shooting all over. And I thought to myself, whoa, I am in the middle of a National Geographic special. Whoa, this is... And at that moment, I started to stumble. Not because I'm such a horrible dancer, but because I'd been climbing a mountain pass for almost 4 hours. The guys realized I was about ready to pass out, and they took me over to this grassy knoll, and they sat me down, and then just rejoined the party. As soon as they left me, these little kids, 3, 4, and 5 years old, came up to me and offered me fresh bananas and fresh coconut to eat. Better than any ice cream cone I've ever eaten on the planet Earth. And I stood up and I watched as this party just railed on. And all of a sudden, a bottle rocket shot across the sky and I followed its arc.
Whoa.
I have been so focused on that mountain pass, every single petal of every single eye. There is not one second that I looked up and saw the view that you could see from the top of the Nilgiri Hills. I could see the mountains beyond. And then I looked and I realized I could see part of the road that I had cycled all the way up as it wound up through green, luscious valleys, the home of wild elephants and tigers. Another bottle rocket shot across the sky, and a grin started on my face. And it grew and grew till, quite frankly, it bisected my head. As I realized at that moment that I knew, I guess, what I've always known. And that was the answer to why I didn't take the bus.
Ourselves 47 degrees latitude and 122 degrees longitude and Puget Sound. Off in the distance, we see the lush northwest canopy draping her mossy tendrils over the picturesque harbor. Not just a harbor, but a mother. She provides protection from the cold, hunger, and predators, a nurturing, loving surrogate for all her residents, the orphans of the sea. As the Calypso approaches, we hear her playful inhabitants. It is kitties! 100 or more! Singing grateful praises to their wet nurse. Get it? I crack myself up sometimes. These playful otters of the feline world fill this kitty harbor and a Frenchman's heart with glee. Kitten and cat, Tuxedo and Tabby, Manx and Maine Coon, all frolicking together in perfect harmony. They are all here and await the loving arms of a new mother, a new home. I call on all of you to hear the siren call of the kitty. You, my friends, can make a difference in the life of a cat. Adopt, adopt, adopt! You there in Delridge or Georgetown, out in Burgen or Medina, oui, Medina. Adopt a kitty or two, or just send money. Money is bone. Please make your home a safe harbor, leeward from the fierce winds, a warm bowl of milk for their fat kitty bellies. If not, I will speed away in my tiny submarine, sobbing, eating wet, stinky cheese.
I, Calypso, the places you've been to, the things that you've shown us, the stories you tell. I, Calypso, I sing to your spirit, the men who have served you so long and so well.
Emerald City Kitty Harbor. A non-profit, volunteer-only rescue, rehabilitation, and adoption facility for homeless and abandoned cats and kittens. Stop by and visit the kitties.
Everyone likes to play with the kitties.
Find Kitty Harbor at Emerald City Pet Rescue in West Seattle. Open during adoption season, June through December. Or make a donation of cash or supplies from their wish list. Find out how at EmeraldCityPetRescue.org.
I, Calypso, I sing to your spirit.
Been doing ever since we've been apart. I get some consolation when I read of someone else's lonely heart. Yeah, I wonder if you get the papers too, and if you feel as melancholy as I do. Until you're in my arms again, never more to roam, I guess I'll get the papers and go home.
I guess I'll get the papers and go home.
That's what I'm doing, Leslie.
Like I've been doing ever since we've been apart.
What were we fighting about anyway?
I get some consolation when I read of someone else's lonely heart.
It's called Schadenfreude.
I wonder if you get the papers too.
Every morning, baby.
And if you feel as melancholy as I do.
Right, it's true.
Until you're in my arms again, never more to roam, I guess I'll get the papers and go home.
All right, well, let's just see what's in the paper this morning.
Yes, please.
Oh, my word. Oh, no, I just can't. What do you got in
well,
there?
Well, let's try another
section.
Page. All right. Missouri, Georgia, legislature decides that women don't have the right to...
Oh, no,
oh
no.
My God, I can't.
Oh, no, no, we can't have none of that. Here, let's look and see here at the obituary. No. Oh, here it says Florida man. Oh, no, I just can't. Until you're in my arms again,
never
on the road, let's win. Once upon a Sunday, there was a city mouse who went to visit a country mouse. She hid away on a train the country mouse had told her to take, only to find that on Sundays, it did not stop at Beddington.
This train does not stop at Beddington.
Oh no!
Hence, the city mouse could not get off at Beddington and catch the bus for Silbert's Junction, where she was to be met by the country mouse. The city mouse, in fact, was carried on to Middleburg.
Next stop, Middleburg.
Aw, rats!
Where she waited 3 hours for a train to take her back.
Jeez.
When she finally got back to Beddington...
Now arriving, Beddington.
She found that the last bus for Silbert's Junction had just left.
No way!
So she ran and she ran and she ran. And she finally caught the bus and crept aboard.
Whew!
Only to find that it was not the bus for Silbert's Junction at all.
Oh, come on!
But was going in the opposite direction through...
Hell's Hollow, it's rough.
To a place called
Wimberley, last stop, Wimberley.
When the bus finally stopped, the city mouse got out into a heavy rain.
You're killing me!
And found that there were no more buses that night going anywhere.
To hell with it,
said the city mouse, and she walked back to the city.
Moral, stay where you are. You're sitting pretty.
Maybe you could let me in on where the hell I am right now.
Don't worry about it. It's not as if I'd let anything happen to you.
Picasso's Fist by Amontaine Aurore.
Ow! Can we get some light in here? I can't see nothing.
That sounds like your personal problem to me.
Well, how am I supposed to get around in here?
Is that why you've come? To get around?
All I want to do is see my hand in front of my frickin' face.
Oh, funny. I'd almost forgotten about you, Mr. Issues.
What you call me?
The original Mr. Issues, O-M-I.
Aw, man.
Not to be rude, but what is it you want?
I've been looking all over for you, man.
Oh?
I'm here to take you back. Bust you out of here. Not so sure it was the stroke of genius I was envisioning.
Why would I want to go anywhere with you?
Can we start over? Hello, Charles.
Nice to see you again, Charles.
Now get our shit and let's go, man.
Oh, no way.
Cut the crap. Can we just go?
So you're having a midlife crisis. Go buy a red Ferrari already. You can finally afford it. I don't care. But leave me out of this. I like it here.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's just, I don't see what's so great about being in here.
You wouldn't because you don't remember.
Remember what?
Go back about 20 years.
Oh, hell no. Not rehashing the past of you, old buddy.
Scared?
No. I just don't feel like skipping down some memory lane shit show.
But things were so perfect back then.
Uh-huh. Eating 4 days out of 7 if we were lucky. Holes in the bottoms of our Reeboks. Oh, and everybody in the universe money. Yeah, real perfection.
What is money?
What is money?
It's an illusion. You never understood that. And perfection? Perfection is whatever we decide it is. Remember when perfection was taking a walk to Schwartz's Deli and getting the 2-egg special on Wednesday mornings?
Ah, yes. The infamous 2-egg special. If I ate slow enough, I could keep my stomach from growling for a few hours. But it was never enough to feel full. I wanted to feel full. I wanted the smoked sausage for a fucking $2 more, man.
We never opted for the sausage because we always used what extra dollars we had to buy flowers.
Flowers.
You forgot about that? Seriously? The flower shop on the corner of Harvard Ave. We'd stop there every Wednesday after breakfast and pick up a small bouquet of flowers. The florist always waited for
our arrival.
So happy that someone coveted the flowers with the same passion and longing that she did.
We'd placed them in the turquoise vase and set it on top of our old roll-top desk.
We used to say that we never wanted to live without beauty.
We said that flowers and Picasso made us weak. Did I miss something?
Oh, man, you think you know so much. You don't know nothing. Don't forget, I'm the part of us who's 20 years older. I've learned a thing or two since you and I used to kick it.
Oh, well, school me, old sage. What exactly have you learned that's so earth-shattering?
That poverty is so much nicer and braver in retrospect. It's damn easy to romanticize empty pockets when you're not doubled over with hunger pains.
Oh, stop. We were never doubled over with hunger pains. We devoured beauty. It filled us up. We found it in everything, even in what was ugly.
What do you want me to say, for Christ's sakes? Wax poetic on a rat-infested apartment filled with paintings that no one wants?
Then why are you here?
I told you! I'm here to bust you out! Get our shit and let's hit it!
No! It's perfect here, whether you can see it or not.
You know what hurts the most in all of this? You didn't even bother to say goodbye.
It wouldn't have mattered. You were done with me. You didn't want to hear it. I'd sit down to paint, and all you would do is tell me how terrible everything was. Fill my brain with all the disparaging remarks you could muster. You'll never make it. You suck. No, stupid, not like that. I was dying. Dying. And then one day, it just happened. I didn't plan it. I couldn't see it coming. I sat down with the Picasso book. I turned the page to Guernica. And it stopped me in my tracks the way it always did. Remember Guernica?
How could I forget, man? It's what made us want to be a painter. All we wanted was to do something on that level. The first time we saw it, we thought that if we could ever do something like that, we wouldn't want anything else ever again.
I looked at that painting, and it got me to thinking about what it means to be an artist. To give one's life over to something so nebulous and undefined. To a crapshoot. I knew at that moment, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I didn't want to live by steady paychecks and a good retirement fund, which is where we were heading, and fast. I actually understood why you were pushing me away. But while you were dreaming of heat, a soft pillow, and sausage heaven, I was planning how I would jump off cliffs with my eyes closed. I felt myself slipping away, the painting calling to me, pulling me in with its irresistible force. Before I knew what was happening, I had slipped right into it, right into the painting. I've been here ever since.
Wait, hold on. Are you telling me you're living frozen in a damn Picasso painting?
Remember that story about how in Picasso's earliest drafts of Guernica, he had included a raised fist?
Yes, I loved that. I never understood why he decided not to include it in the final.
Me too. I loved it so much that I became it.
Come again.
Honestly, I do think it makes the painting that much more exquisite.
What the hell? That's why you left me and came here? Why you've stayed? To be a damn fist for Picasso?
I wanted to do something important, something powerful.
But you have your own talent and real passion. You should be walking on a beach somewhere, swooning on the grains of sand. I mean, you find the entire universe in a damn drop of water, man. You think everybody can do that? Well, they can't. The world needs you.
You've never said anything like this to me before.
Well, I should have. I really should have.
Why didn't you?
I think I was just scared. I didn't want us to get our hopes up to be dashed by this cruel world. But then I dashed them before anyone else could. And that's no better, is it?
You know, honestly, I have thought of leaving.
Yeah?
Many times. It's cold. My hand's so cramped, there's no feeling in it anymore.
Okay, so what's stopping you?
I don't know where I would go.
But don't you see? That's why I've come to get you.
Yeah? You want me, but you have no place for me, really.
But I do.
You create computer programs. You play golf. You watch reality TV. I can't breathe in that world.
Well, I'm not leaving you. So, I guess I'm moving in here. Scoot over. Don't try to talk me out of it.
You're still so crazy, man.
And I've missed you terribly.
You have not.
I have.
Terribly?
I need you, man. I just didn't realize how much at first. Don't write me off because I'm a little slow. Come back with me. Please.
But what will I do while you're at work all day? Will you quit your job to spend time with me?
No, I can't do that.
Oh.
But what if we did something together when I get home in the evenings? Would you like that?
Like what, for instance?
Well, we could maybe draw.
You'd really do that?
Yeah, why not? A few hours after work shouldn't be too difficult.
What about on the weekends?
No. I have my golf games and the weekend tournaments. I'm just way too... But you know, I can miss some tournaments. We'll work it out, I promise. Now, can we go? I'm freezing my ever-loving ass off in here!
I'm scared.
Don't be scared. Here. Take my hand. I can't promise I'll be perfect, but I'll give it my best. Now here we go.
God, ow, shit!
Why don't you let me lead the way?
Yeah, why don't you? Best idea we've had in 20 years.
David Garamond and Ty Willis.
Hello, bartender. It's been a long wait. Is it still happy hour? Or am I too late? I never drank whiskey. I never drank rye. Is there still time to learn while there's light in the sky? And pour me some time before night falls. Where the bottles are blue and the bar stools are high and the little lights twinkle, hung out, strung out like stars in the sky. So hello, bartender, won't you smile at me? Like I'm still 22 and pour me a drink like I'm maybe complain. Then you're the housewife who lives down the lane, keeping in and out. Oh, for the milk going sour. Never learned much about cocktail hour. Some wishes that warm me like kisses, oh sweet little eyes, oh bartender, show me, love me, just don't tell me I'm through. We could be anywhere where the bottles are blue. To be where the work's never through, they'll be waiting on me. But I never drank whiskey.
You're listening to Sandbox Radio. Subscribe to this podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher so you never miss an episode. If you're in the Seattle area, please join us for everyone's favorite show, the Halloween episode, on October 28th in the Forum at Town Hall Seattle. It'll feature musical guest Cayman Illica, a new piece from Seattle playwright Maggie Lee, Sandbox Radio favorite Lisa Koch, and music from special guest music director Michael Auchoruk, and so much more. Tickets on sale now at brownpapertickets.com. Now back to Busting Out and Pamela in the New World by Scott Augustson, featuring Sarah Harlett and Kate Yeager.
Ask me the same damn question. Do they say, Pamela, what's it like to have three books on the bestseller list at the same time? No, they do not. Do they ask, Pamela, how does it feel to discover the cure to the deadly Minnesota fever? Nope. I have built bridges. I've sung at Carnegie Hall. I have a Michelin star. But the first thing they always ask is, Pamela, how did a penguin end up living in Forks, Washington? Well, I'll tell you.
Pamela in the New World by Scott Augustson.
I was out wandering the ice in search of a good divorce lawyer. Everyone says that penguins mate for life, but they never met my husband, Stan. Antarctic winters are dreary enough without a drip like him.
Hey, Pamela. This fish doesn't taste like my mother made. Can you talk to her about the recipe?
So, I'm trundling across the ice when what do I see but a human being? Stark naked. And dancing. Hey, I says to him, what are you doing?
Freezing to death.
Pamela Penguin.
Cranston McFibbins. I'm the chief science officer on board the SS Cedro Woolly. The evidence seems to point to me being afflicted with polar madness.
Well, we better ski-doodle you back to the ship.
You are an uncommonly wise and compassionate penguin.
Woo! Oh, shush. And take my shawl. Cover up that mammalian willy of yours. So, once on board, I tracked down El Capitan.
What can I do you for, Tux?
Well, clearly, Dr. McFibbins is unable to carry out their duties.
Yes, mad as a French bulldog at a kangaroo rodeo.
Well, I submit myself as a highly qualified replacement.
Well, you got me over a barrel of eels, don't you?
I'll take that as a yes.
I have always had a weakness for birds who waddle the ice shelf.
And soon, I settled in and was playing a friendly game of spit in the ocean with my crewmates Jean-Paul Sartre and Rue McClanahan.
Oh, Pamela, you are a breath of fresh air on this stodgy old boat. Am I right, Jean-Paul?
Life begins on the other side of despair.
Is this your first trip outside the South Pole?
Nah. I was on the debate team in high school. We went to a meet in the Tierra del Fuego.
Olé.
Only the fellow who isn't rowing has time to rock the boat.
Rue, Jean-Paul, I have to ask a question and I need the truth.
Oh, Pamela, I don't know if I could look you in your beady little eyes and find the strength to lie. I think I'm half in love with you already.
We do not judge the people we love.
Honesty is what got me kicked out of clown college.
If my hunch is correct, this ship is headed into a rift in the space-time continuum.
Honey, how many mint juleps have you had?
Rue, mon amour, lies are the easy road to anguish. The truth may flay our skin, but it shall set us free.
You are right, you crazy, sexy French man. Yeah, Pamela, we are headed right towards a rip in the universe.
Perfect! I have a plan to save the world!
Oh, sweet Jesus on the bayou.
I have a list of people that if we can go back and stop them from being born...
Pamela!
It's my mom.
Shit!
Merde.
Pamela, where the hell are you?
Right here, Mom.
I sent you out to get wood 20 minutes ago.
I'm getting it.
No, you're not. You're out here farting around, making up more of your damn stories.
I'll get it.
Christ,
What am I going to do with you? I turned my back for 5 minutes and you start daydreaming.
Sorry, Mom. I'll get the wood.
I worry about you. You can't keep living in your head. You want to make it through the day. You got to live here and now in this world, whether you like it or not. You're gonna be the one crying in the middle of the night about how cold it is. Maybe I won't even get a fire going.
We wouldn't need fire if we had electricity.
Well, we don't have electricity, and we're not getting it. Ever again.
I'll get the wood right now.
No, you won't. I got word from your cousin Adam. He says there's a truck on its way into town. Bread for sure, maybe potatoes, maybe even canned goods.
But Mom...
Don't you butt me. You get going now. I want you at the front of the line. Now, Missy, or I'll tan your ass. You were the one bitching about eating radishes 3 nights in a row.
Did Adam say if it was coming to the depot or the plaza?
He didn't. You'll have to figure it out.
I don't know why I was gonna be the one to go and fetch shit.
Hey, Pamela.
Rook.
My dad caught a pigeon.
Great.
That's what we're having for supper.
One pigeon for all's you?
And we got cornmeal. My mom got paid last week with cornmeal. Hey, why do you walk funny?
Because I'm a penguin.
No, you're not. My dad says you walk funny because you have rickets.
Why'd you ask if you thought you knew the answer?
Why are you bald?
Because I'm a badass warrior.
My dad says you're bald because they shaved your head for lice.
Rook, don't you got nothing better to do?
Why is it it's just you and your mom?
My pop had some business out east, but he'll be back probably in time for my birthday.
My dad says he ain't coming back. He's got papers to go to Minneapolis, that he's just living there now.
He said that?
Yeah.
Well, your dad can just go fuck himself, can he?
I'm yelling!
Jerk!
Well, as I live and breathe, Pamela Penguin.
Hey, Rue McClanahan.
You can't hide from Rue for long.
Where's Jean-Paul Sartre?
I can't keep track of all the existentialists in the circus. Even the hot ones. Where are you heading, darling?
There might be a supply truck coming in with bread. My cousin Adam told my mom about it, but really Adam's always full of shit. I'll end up going into town and nobody knows about this magic truck full of food.
Sounds like the time I went with Alejandro down to Havana. We showed up and the hotel had burned to the ground. I ended up getting a job at the cigar factory. Did you see bread?
Yeah.
You're walking all this way for bread? Now, if it was cheesecake, I'd walk a mile for it.
Rue, what does cheesecake taste like?
Oh, honey. You never had cheesecake?
No.
Oh, sweet and creamy.
Cream is from milk?
Yeah.
And milk is from a horse?
Ooh, a cow.
Did people keep a cow in the kitchen for the milk?
That's not really how it worked. You'd keep the milk in the fridge. You know what a fridge is?
Of course I do. Everyone had a fridge back when there was still electricity.
Oh, shh. What's wrong, honey?
Shh. Come behind the rocks.
Oh, I think I hear men.
Okay, they're gone.
Well, who were they?
The police.
You're hiding from the cops?
My mom says girls shouldn't be alone with the police. What's the best kind of cheesecake?
Chocolate. Mm.
I had chocolate once. It was so strong, and it was like dirt at first. Yeah, a mouthful of dirt.
First time you put anything in your mouth can certainly defy expectations. I remember when I was 19 at the Harvest Moon Ball.
Hey, Rue, can you still get back through that time rift?
Oh, that. You really want to go back and kill people?
Not kill. Make it so they were never born. Maybe make it so their parents don't meet. Something.
Which people?
Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Edison, and Nikola Tesla.
Oh, honey, why would you ever do that?
Because if we never had electricity in the first place, then everybody wouldn't be missing it now that it's gone. The world fell apart because electricity stopped flowing, but maybe if we all hadn't leaned on it so much, we'd have come up with a better way to do things.
Pamela Penguin, you know I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for electricity.
Really?
You saw me first on television.
It's the only memory I have from before, on the TV.
Well, television needs electricity.
Oh, of course it does. I should have remembered.
Oh, hell's bells, let's do it anyway. Maybe it comes from hanging around Jean-Paul Sartre, but the abyss sounds kind of sexy.
You mean, you're not going to tell me it's a hard world and the sooner I get used to that, the better?
Why would I ever do that? You are young, you should have some fun.
What if we do it and it makes things worse?
That could happen. There was one time when I had left my favorite earrings at a gentleman friend's apartment. I returned to fetch them and his boyfriend was at home. Oh, he had some choice words for me.
Okay. How about this? You and me will walk into town, and if there really is food on the truck, I'll take it home. But if there isn't, we'll do the time travel.
You got yourself a deal.
Hey, did you write that song, Thank You for Being a Friend?
Of course I did. Hey, I have been meaning to ask, how did a penguin like you end up here in Forks, Washington anyway?
Rue.
Yes?
I'm not really a penguin.
I know, honey.
Who Was God by James Thurber.
Once upon a starless midnight, there was an old owl who sat on the branch of an oak tree. Two ground moles tried to slip quietly by unnoticed.
You,
said the owl.
Oh, they quavered in fear and astonishment.
For they could not believe it was possible for anyone to see them in that thick darkness.
You too,
said the owl. The moles hurried away and told the other creatures of the field and forest
that the owl was the greatest and wisest of all animals.
Because he could see in the dark.
And because he could answer any question.
I'll see about that,
said a secretary bird, and called on the owl one night when it was again very dark.
Claws am I holding up?
Said the secretary bird.
Two,
said the owl, and that was right.
Can you give me another expression for that is to say, or namely?
To wit,
said the owl.
Why does a lover call on his love?
To woo,
said the owl. The secretary bird hastened back to the other creatures and reported that
the owl was indeed the greatest and wisest animal in the world because he could see in the dark and because he could answer any question.
I know. I cannot believe it.
Can he see in the daytime too?
Asked a red fox.
Can he see in the daytime too?
Echoed a French poodle. All of the other creatures laughed loudly at this silly question. And then they set upon the fox and the poodle and drove them out of the region.
Get out of here! You don't need to win your questions.
Then they sent a message to the owl and asked him to be their leader. When the owl appeared among the animals, it was high noon and the sun was shining brightly. He walked very slowly, which gave him an appearance of great dignity. and he peered about him with large staring eyes, which gave him an air of tremendous importance.
He's God!
Said a Plymouth Rock hen, and the others took up the cry.
He's God! God!
He's God!
So they followed him wherever he went.
Who are you? Who are you?
When the owl began to bump into things, they bumped into things too. Finally, he came to a concrete highway, and he started right up the middle of it, and all the other creatures followed him. Presently, a hawk, who was acting as a scout, observed a truck coming towards them at 50 miles an hour. And he reported to the secretary bird. And the secretary bird reported to the owl.
There's danger ahead!
To wit!
Said the owl.
Aren't you afraid?
Who?
Said the owl calmly, for he could not see the truck.
He's God!
Cried all the creatures again, and they were still crying.
He's God!
When the truck hit them and ran them all down.
Moral. You can fool too many of the people too much of the time.
Welcome to Sandbox Radio's Vermin Notes.
The program dedicated to revealing the delightfully vile world around you.
There was a time, not so long ago, when there were exactly zero venomous snakes in the Puget Sound region.
Thanks to climate change, we are now overrun by those wriggly, squiggly assassins.
Your baby's rattle can actually attract rattlesnakes. Play it safe and don't have children.
Around the holiday, be extra careful of the pumpkin spice cobra.
If being chased by a snake, brandish a Bible and shout, "By the power of Christ, I compel thee to shed thy skin."
If you are bitten, spin rapidly in a circle. The centrifugal force will cause the venom to collect in your extremities, where it will do less harm.
If snakes ever successfully mate with birds, we're fucked.
Originally, the phrase "working for scale" meant to be paid in snakeskin boots.
The water moccasin is so deadly that even to think about one for too long will make you sick.
Snake's favorite character in Lord of the Rings is Legolas.
Snakes worship Tilda Swinton as their dark goddess.
The sibilant hissing sound a snake makes would be quite soothing if it weren't coming from a horrifying tube of death.
A snake's bite is so painful that I don't want to talk about it.
Stop it!
Snakes hate puns. So, if you really want to annoy them, send them a card saying, "Fangs for the memories."
Serpents love to lay their eggs in man buns.
There's probably a snake hiding in your sock drawer or small intestine right now.
Surprise!
When a snake grows weary of life, it transforms into a worm and is eaten by a robin. And thus the circle of life continues.
So long!
Until next time, this has been Sandbox Radio's Vermin Notes.
If, that is, you live long enough for there to be a next time.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure and my honor. I can't even believe he's here in this venue. I mean, he's normally at venues like the Metropolitan Opera. Will you please, please give a warm welcome to the Drunken Tenor?
Starò solo con te nella mia mente e nei miei sogni ho baciato le tue labbra mille volte. A volte ti vedo passare dalla mia porta. Ciao! E me che stai cercando nel tuo sorriso, sei tutto quello che ho sempre voluto, e le mie braccia sono spalancate per te. Sai cosa dire e sai cosa fare, e voglio dirvi tanto: ti amo. Vedere la luce del sole tra i capelli e ti dirà di volta in volta quanto mi preoccupo. A volte mi sento il mio cuore traboccherà. Ciao! Va bene, devo sapere perché mi chiedi. Stai qualche sento sola o qualcuno è amarti. Dimmi come vincere il tuo cuore, perché oh, sembrano troppo, manca anche una sole. Non idea, ma permetta d'insiare dicendo ti amo. Ti amo.
Rob McPherson!
Some bright morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, bye-bye, I'll fly away.
Still in South Lake Union, I think.
There's Sirius Pi. I don't remember a creepy graveyard next to Sirius Pi.
It's an old protester's graveyard.
What are we even doing here, Katie?
I don't know, okay, Josh? I mean, how often do you get texted by your TV childhood hero? Someone who is definitely dead by now.
Not often.
And how do you explain he used our nicknames? It's just weird.
Not that weird. They track everything these days.
Yeah, but when was the last time you used your nickname from the Colonel Peacenik Cool Kids Club? No one knows our nicknames except Colonel Peacenik.
And First Mate Peacenik.
Who?
Remember? His wife, First Mate Peacenik. She was always showing us how to macrame stuff. Yeah, that was my favorite part of the show, the macrame minute.
Oh, wow. I guess this is it.
Wow, look at all these other people creeping around here, too. Hey there.
Well, what's this all about?
I had to drive here all the way from Clay Ellum.
Randy Hitweiler.
Didn't you make millions in pharma and now build recyclable cat beds or something?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, Josh!
Hey! Wow! Half of Amazon's HR department is here. Oh, and you're a state senator.
Have a flyer.
Hey, aren't you Willy Weir, that guy that used to be on KUOW before the programming changed?
That's me.
Wait! All of you people are like movers and shakers. How come I got the text too?
What was that? Look!
It's a crypt!
Very all gone.
Was that there before? Where did it come from?
And why is everything so close to Sirius Pi?
What's it say on the front?
It's an inscription of some kind.
Here lies the earthly remains of Colonel Peacenik and his steadfast wife, First Mate.
Wow!
Change the world! Change your underwear, and don't forget to stick it to the man.
Whoa!
Remember that song they'd sing, him and First Mates? When you're feeling like the world's betrayed you,
stick it to the man.
That's the one.
When injustice pounds you like a hammer, stick it to the man.
Song is old school.
Haven't sung it in years.
It feels so good somehow.
Who's pushing that slab?
Is that a hand?
Come on, people, this isn't funny.
Is that a hand?
No.
Yes!
Oh, sticky. To the man, don't belly.
Oh my God, it's Colonel Peacenik. But he's dead.
So dead.
Josh, snap a pic.
I can't. My phone's frozen.
So's mine.
Make a protest plan and stick it to the man.
Colonel Peacenik, is that you?
Hello, kids.
Ahoy, Colonel.
Gather round. It's time to rap about what's going down.
Get your ancient gassy ass out of my face for once!
Darling!
Don't you darling me.
It's the First Mate.
This was always a duet. Don't you go and make it a solo, you imperialist bag of bones.
Introducing my old lady.
Ahoy, Peaceniks.
Well, 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 First Mate, would you look at all the little revolutionaries come to show their respect?
Lots of them look like they got some meat on their bones, probably making six figures.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Hey, Colonel Peacenik?
Yes, sister?
What are you doing here?
Yeah, why did you text us?
Yeah, what's up?
Well, my little peacenicks, the underground's been rattling something fierce recently.
Strange rumblings, awful moans, loathsome phrases drip down. No collusion. No obstruction.
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible.
Seems like as good a time as any to get the old gang together.
The Colonel... Peacenik Cool Kids Club.
No, the Raytheon Corporation. You drone!
Oh, no. First Mate, let's not let sarcasm rule the day.
That's another thing we're gonna deal with. These bones are reborn, so there's no more of that First Mate shit.
Oh, Mrs. Peacenik.
Nope, no. Might have worked back in the day, but my name is Flo.
Flo. I love that name.
So what exactly do you all want from us?
What do we want from you?
What don't we want from you, you do-nothing little shits?
Baby, take it down a notch.
Hey, lady. Nobody likes the current situation, but what are we supposed to do about it?
Fly an orange blimp over D.C.?
Throw a pie at Mitch McConnell?
Write a bunch of postcards?
No!
You've got a cancer growing on the White House.
And it's metastasizing faster than you can say, Sean Hannity.
You can't cure cancer with postcards or blimps.
Or pies. Unless they're rhubarb. And there's a bomb in there, too. Ha!
I love rhubarb pie.
Hey, we're signing every online survey.
And following Rachel Maddow.
I bought the frickin' Mueller report.
But
we need to follow the rule of law.
Ooh, the rule of law.
Are those neocon mafia pigs following the rule of law?
No. Actually, they're not.
But we've got to... dot our I's and cross our T's, or...
Or what? They're running right over you.
The man is committing criminal acts in plain sight.
He's asking for a spanking.
He loves spankings.
So? So spank him.
You mean like get a paddle, or...
No, my bourgeois neophyte. Throw the bum out.
Impeach him.
Oh, what? Did he say the I word?
Can't do that.
Why not?
Because?
Because it could affect the next election.
Because it doesn't matter anyway. The Senate will just...
Oh, the Senate. Did we give a rat's ass what the Senate thought when millions protested against the war?
Did Dr. King let the Senate stop him when he led the Poor People's March on Washington?
No.
No, that's right. We did those things despite the Senate.
Look, Colonel, that was then. This is now.
Now it all seems really relentless.
Plus climate change.
Oh, hold up. Is this defeatist rhetoric coming from the hippest members of the Colonel Peacenik's Cool Kids Club?
It sure the heck is.
Maybe we're not so cool anymore.
Where is your capacity for deep hope?
Deep hope?
Is that a yoga move?
Sounds privileged.
That's it! I can't take any more of this inaction!
Well, where are you going, baby?
To get my guitar.
Ooh! Grab my tambourine while you're down there.
Here it is!
Oh, you better bring your left arm if you want to play that sucker.
Yeah, probably out of tune.
Don't go wasting your time tuning the damn thing.
Get off my back, woman! Okay, here we go!
Hey, it's our club song.
Oh, hey, with new lyrics.
When some fascist tries to justice to get to the man, when their actions harm the Constitution, to get to the man, to get to the man, when impeach him, baby.
Ravens. The struggle has never been easy and never will be. Take heart from the people of Hong Kong. You got to stand up and fight like hell to wrest your freedom from the hands of these demagogues.
Step one, show the heck up. Hey, they're right. Maybe this is the eve of destruction, but that doesn't mean we still don't have a choice.
To fight or cave?
I'm not caving.
Me neither.
Yeah! We are Colonel Peacenik Cool Kids!
Leave your laptops! Leave your co-work space! Come out to the streets and shake the nation up!
Everyone in club marching formation!
Roll call! Leadenhead?
Here!
Gandhi Butt!
Present!
Foxhole!
Aye, aye!
Chavez Face!
Yep!
Chomsky Lips!
Marching!
Alrighty now! Let's go!
Try and keep up, you runts!
Radio players were
Lisa Holland,
Sarah Harlett,
Laura Kenny,
Ty Willis,
David Gehrman,
Nick Kuhlman,
Frank Lawler,
Kate Yeager,
Marta Zekab,
Richard Simon,
and I'm your host for Sandbox Radio, Leslie Law. And please give it up for our special guests, the drunken tenor, Rob McPherson!
Clarinet, and on the keys, our maestro and composer, Angie Louise.
And one more, Marta Zekan from Classical King FM, not only a Sandbox Radio player, but on the sound effects. Tonight's show was written by Amante Narore, Scott Augustin, Elizabeth Heffron, James Thurber, and Peggy Platts. We want to thank Town Hall, as always, for being our home. It's so great to be back! Special thanks to Shane, Ashley, Shirley, and most especially to our dear friend and champion, Ware Harmon. We love you! Our stage managers were Susie Butler and Jessely Miranda. The show was mixed by Luke Carewald and recorded by Brian Moynihan. So now we're going to bring out our lyric cards, because now's the time of the show when we always love for you to sing along. You've had enough drinks. You can do it. I think you've picked up the tune. Ready? Here we go. Busting Out was recorded in front of a live audience at Town Hall Seattle on June 24th, 2019. The live show was sound engineered by Luke Carewall, recorded by Brian Moynihan, and this podcast was mixed by Dave Pascal. Like what you hear? Subscribe to the podcast of our show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher, and stream episodes, find artist credits, live show information, and learn how to become a sustaining donor of Sandbox Radio at sandboxradio.org. I'm your host for Sandbox Radio, Leslie Law. And on behalf of co-producer Richard Ziman and all of us here at Sandbox Radio, thanks for listening.